Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, hello, America and all the ships at sea. It's Creekside, and I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is Creekside with Don and Jan, the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette.
Yeah.
And we are here with episode 221 on April the 23rd.
It is April the 23rd.
Uh-huh.
It is a beautiful 75-degree day here in Greenville, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And we are broadcasting from 104 South North First Street. Where are we? 104 North First Street. Yeah, that's where we are.
At our Creekside studio.
Creekside studio.
That's right. And we have a special guest with us tonight. And our listeners and readers will remember Krista Walker. Welcome, Krista.
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
Yes, you are a return guest to the podcast. I think this makes your third time, fourth time?
By phone.
Mm-hmm.
By sea.
Well, I tell you, let's back up, and we can maybe walk ourselves through this, too. We wanted to let listeners know that you and I met way back when people used Yahoo groups as a regular form of connecting online. I had started a Mothers for Liberty group, and you found us in that group. You'd said we tried to figure out the year that was, and we about decided it was 2008. So
right.
We've been friends online for a long time.
Long time.
And then you decided, you and your family together, wanted to make an adventure and became Road School America. And so from our Mothers for Liberty and Libertarian Moms group on Cafe Mom, we built a friendship. And then you guys decided to head out and cross the country and explore America together as a family, a homeschooling, road schooling family. So then you decided, with a little encouragement from me, to write about your journeys. And that's how our Owl Creek Gazette readers got to know you.
Right.
And that was in 2014 and 15, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And so when you were on the phone with us, that was when you were getting ready to head out on your journey.
Right. We were just announcing that we were going to do this big trip.
Mm-hmm. And then when you, almost 2 years ago to the day here, because we've just had our home show.
Our convention.
Our own convention. Our Owl Creek Gazette Self-Reliant and Sustainability Home Show. 2 years ago, you were an active part of that when we called it an expo. You guys rolled into Greenville, your whole family, and you gave a program, a presentation on homeschooling.
I called that our grand detour. It was supposed to be a short detour, a big detour away from our planned agenda. And ended up being a permanent stop, but we didn't know that at the time.
Right, right. So you stayed here with us, and we got to visit with you and get to know your family, and the girls were just kind of a part of everything you did, which was really fun to get to know them and your husband, Seth. And then, after you stayed here a while, Seth got a job, and you decided to lay down roots here.
Right, yeah. The job was sort of accidental. He didn't expect to accidentally beat out 50 people for it, but it was way too good of a deal to pass up. So
that is cool.
So that's when your roots got firmly planted here in the Midwest.
Taproot.
And so from that point, after you got aware that you were going to be firmly put here, you knew your libertarian leanings were real and you wanted to be active, and you've always been an activist of sorts anyway, so you got involved in the Libertarian Party of Illinois.
We moved into a house in Collinsville in June, and it was about 2 weeks later I went with Aaron Wright to a summit in Mount Vernon. I didn't know Aaron at all. I'd never met him, but I knew he was friends with the Stovers, and that was good enough for me. And he was kind enough to let me carpool down with him and his wife. And
our listeners will know Aaron Wright as a guest on Creekside with Donna Jan. He's been on two or three times as well.
Yeah, he has been.
So then that was your first initiation into the Libertarian Party of Illinois. And so now you've taken on multiple roles in the party. And
I do some things. You do sometimes. Some things.
I did some stuff.
And so we're here. You've just come off fresh off the convention, the Libertarian Party of Illinois convention, which always leaves people inspired and enthusiastic. But why don't you tell our listeners, before we jump into the convention, sure, about how the party has grown?
Oh, it's really exciting how the party has grown. And actually, party member named Jake Leonard made two images. And Field Ops has been using it because it's brilliant. So the first image is a map of Illinois about 4 years ago. There's 8 active chapters. And the next to it is an image of Illinois now. There's 21 active chapters. And I just found out there are 13 forming chapters. So we're about to double in size. 13 chapters that are getting their bylaws ready, having meetings, but haven't been approved. The state organizing committee has to approve the new chapters as they come through. So those 13 chapters are going through that process. And 2 are getting ready for SOC approval of those 13 right now.
And that's really exciting.
In less than 4 years, we have tripled in size and are about to even more. So it's exciting.
And I think that's really a reflection of the voters' concern about how the status quo has disappointed them over and over again.
Well, status quo is the status go.
Say bye-bye to that status quo, huh?
No kidding.
And I think that we've seen that just in our magazine as we write about life through libertarian perspective. We have more and more people come up to us all the time and say, we agree with this. Gosh, I might be a libertarian. In fact, we just talked to somebody the other day who is a publisher in her own right, and she had said, you know, this, and this holds true for me. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I think you might be a libertarian. I'm sure you say that a lot to people as they discover it themselves through a little help.
A little bit of help.
Mm-hmm. So, tell us, with that kind of growth, how was that reflected in the convention? Were there a lot more people attending this year?
You know, this convention took me by surprise because I felt like the one before it was really well attended. Everyone was really excited. We had all of the libertarian nominees for president there. So you would expect a big crowd. This one was huge. We had over 90 people buy tickets. The banquet on Saturday night was literally overflowing into the outdoor area. Luckily, it was a beautiful night, so, you know, everyone enjoyed the fresh air, which was good because there wasn't room.
that's a nice inside problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah, standing room only.
It was. It was fantastic. We had people that didn't have a table to eat at because there just wasn't the space. But that's a good problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't even an election year, a presidential election year, and we had that many people. And that says a lot,
mm-hmm,
that we had that many active people driving in from all over the state. Southern Illinois made a really big appearance between Metro East, Southern Illinois, and Mount Vernon. We had a lot of people show up and drive, you know, the 5 hours up to Tinley Park to attend.
Mm-hmm.
On a year that's not a presidential year, that's really exciting to see that people are willing to make the trek up there.
So speaking of this year's convention, can you tell our listeners something about the speakers who attended?
Sure. There was Mariam Ahmed. She talked about how people don't do the research before they vote for judges. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people just have no idea. So I love that she came and spoke on that topic. And she talked about how the Bar Association does all the research and you really just need to get on and take a look at what the different associations say about the judges, because they take a lot of time to do the research and call the references and all of that for you so that that information is available. And then Ross Morial spoke about medical cannabis dispensaries in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the keynote speaker was Larry Sharp. He is definitely a libertarian right now, so everyone was really excited to have him. But the great thing about Larry is he is a really wonderful, warm, real person. And he is just willing to talk to anyone. He gave everyone advice, whether it was business advice or job advice.
Solicited or unsolicited?
I think everyone wanted advice.
Okay, there you go.
So,
well, that's good.
He actually did 2 impromptu, unplanned, uncharged, just like sit downs with people in the hotel lobby.
Really cool.
And there were all just all these people gathered around him, and he was giving these free lectures on things, which was amazing. Like, who does that? Right. You know, just willing to take the time. He could have been resting. He could have been doing anything, and he's just still down there talking to people. So that was wonderful. And that was on top of the lunch with Larry Sharp that nine lucky people got to pay to do. But I kind of lucked out because I got to help pick him up from the airport and drop him back off. So I got some time with Larry.
Well, and we were just saying there's a couple of times in conventions past that Don had that same opportunity to drive the keynote speaker to the airport or back, and he got a chance to really get to know David Nolan that way, who was in essence the founder, in many ways considered the founder of the libertarian movement.
Right.
And then also Sheriff Mack. That's an opportunity that you will remember for your lifetime, isn't
it? Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is Larry Sharp running for president? Is that his future plans? Or
people are saying that he's running for governor of New York, but if you ask him, he'll say, I didn't say that.
So we'll just keep our eye on where he goes, correct?
You know, but he is a wonderful resource, and he really just makes himself available. So it was really great to have him. Mm-hmm. And when I hugged him goodbye at the airport, he said, we're not done yet. And just makes you excited.
Yeah.
So it was wonderful.
So now that you've all come off the convention, the party is working diligently and gearing up to become an established party. Can you tell us a little bit about what is involved in that process?
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that in Illinois, the Libertarian Party doesn't exist. And it makes us laugh because we've worked very hard, right?
Right.
I'll never forget when I first got here, I wanted to know about voter registration because in Oregon, that's something that's a really good activism. You can go out, you can grab forms and sit, you know, make a booth or whatever and help people become registered to vote. That's just a normal activism you do. And they can register to vote and you can try to pitch the Libertarian Party. And in Illinois, that's not allowed. You have to be certified as a registrant to do that. And in order to become certified as a registrant, you have to be part of an established party. So libertarians cannot help voters become registered. But anyway, so I'm calling and I'm finding out this information. And the lady on the phone says, well, there isn't a Libertarian Party in Illinois. And I said, well, no, there is. And she said, no, there's not. And I kind of chuckled and I said, oh, okay. So we're not established. The state doesn't recognize us as being legitimate at this point. We have to get 5% of the vote in order to become established. And then that sounds great, like that's hard enough to do. But then there's all these other things that have to be done on a time frame to retain our established status. And so that's the things that we're preparing for now, because the state says, we know how to run a political party better than you do. You have to do it this way. And so we're having to create things like a state central committee and precinct committeemen, and the bylaws have to say the right things, and we have to have conventions at the right times and only so many otherwise. So I think we're allowed 2 every 4 years, and the other 2 have to be more like a social thing that the state operating committee, which is the structure we have in place now, can plan and do. But so they're very specific on how they think we can run our party, and we have to do certain things to be in their good graces to have candidates on the ballot.
Well, and I think that's interesting. As someone who had been involved, anyone that's been involved in politics from the two-party, the status quo parties, the Republicans and Democrats, would automatically be doing this because it's been done so long. It's a normal process for them. We're new to the game,
right?
Not in the form of getting our word out, but following suit, falling in line.
One thing that helped me on this project is that as a very young activist, I thought I could make change within the Republican Party, which is so cute, naive, but I really thought I could. So I became a blue Republican for Ron Paul, and the county chair appointed me as a precinct committee person. So I have experience being on a county central committee and being a precinct committee person, and I know how that structure works. So that's helped me understand. Actually, it was a state operating committee I had to learn, although it makes a lot more sense than the state central committee does. So that was easier to learn the ropes.
So nothing's ever wasted, and every experience is always a benefit down the road.
Absolutely.
So you've seen that manifest itself right here in what you're doing now.
Yeah.
So I know the party is looking for volunteers, and I know you want to talk a little bit about the state party and how people can become active. But one thing we haven't mentioned yet is if you've tuned in for the first time and don't know the heck what a libertarian is, why don't you give us an idea? Don and I talk about this all the time and it's in the magazine, but it's always good to hear someone else's take.
It's funny because we ask this question, right? We want to hear what the other person, like how they explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Libertarians want you to have all of your freedoms all the time. They are fiscally conservative, which means we think you earned your money and you should be able to spend your money how you would like. And we are socially tolerant because we don't think that legislating morality is a good idea for society. That is how I would explain that.
I would explain it very similarly and throw in the non-aggression principle too, as yes. We oppose the initiation of force and fraud. So that works for me. What do you think there, Don?
Yes.
A man of few words. We often laugh. Dr. Phil on television once said that women have 4,000 words to use each day and men have 2,000.
I believe
and
that.
And by the time a husband and wife get home, if they've all done their separate things in the day, the woman has 2,000 words left to share and the husband's done.
And you know, sometimes, some afternoons, I'm down to already at 1,198. I think that... you know, I'm looking at Krista's T-shirt, and she's got an image of Hayek on her shirt, which would fall on many deaf ears around here. Who is Mr. Hayek?
Hayek is an Austrian economist, and he wrote The Road to Serfdom, which is a book that really influenced me when I was more moderate.
So we are on the road to serfdom.
I think we're there.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Sure we are. We're serfs, yeah. And we're not talking the ones that are tanned either.
No, this is the bad kind.
Surfers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is an eye-opener. If anybody would read the book, The Road to Serfdom, they would have their eyes open. And hopefully we can get people to do that.
Yeah, that's always the goal. I do a lot of party work, but my real inspiration has always been, yeah, wrong kind of party.
Yeah, well.
Well, it can be a party like mm-hmm. that, though the convention certainly was. But my real passion has always been education. I feel like if you can get personal sovereignty across, and this is something I did a lot in Oregon, was speak to the more conservative groups about personal sovereignty. That one thing, if you can just get people to understand that you own you, mm-hmm. you know, everything else will click. Everything else will make sense.
And the average Joe on the street doesn't really care.
No, it's sad to me.
Yeah, and those of us who have a political conscience care, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that they, if confronted with an issue, they don't care. It's just they don't have time to think about it sometimes. They're concerned about, number one, where are they going to get their next meal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're concerned about, is the paycheck going to be, you know, on time? Am I going to get my car payment made? Is the power bill going to get paid? And whenever people are consumed with thinking those things all the time, that's the best kind of voter that the two established parties want.
Absolutely.
So taking that into account, I think it's, from my personal perspective, I think that that's the kind of voter that we need to go after as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, if I can bring this back to Larry Sharp, Larry's whole thing is communication.
Mm-hmm.
And libertarians do it wrong because this sounds cocky, but we're very smart. Mm-hmm. We're a very educated section. We do a lot of reading and we like facts. Most people need that emotional argument. And so Larry's advice was, you have to flip what you're doing. People want to hear the emotional argument first. Then you can give them the facts to say, this makes sense because mm-hmm. here are the statistics or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll listen. If you start with the numbers, they're not going to listen to you. So I think that was really good advice for libertarians to hear because We already have the libertarians.
Yeah.
We don't need to reach ourselves anymore, right?
Right, right.
The other people we need to reach.
Well, and that's even when we started the Owl Creek Gazette. That was sort of our way to take what we knew and loved and believed in and present it in a different venue, a different format, with that emotional attachment to it. We do this. We love our family. This is why we do this. Mm-hmm. We want our children educated in the best manner. This is why we do this. We want to make sure you can spend your money the way you want to. This is why we do this. And if we have been able to educate people, and we learn all the time from our own readers and listeners. I mean, they contact us and allow us that opportunity to grow from them too. So it's a joint effort, but it's really been a nice venue that we wouldn't have had we not reached outside the party.
Right.
And we've been grateful that we've been able to do that.
Right.
And then bringing people like you into our listeners that know you from several different ways through the Road School America. That was a journey. That took courage. That took enthusiasm. And you bring that same thing when you talk about your personal and political philosophy, too.
Well, we have I want to go ahead and just blurt it out right here. That Krista, being one of the people that... active in the party, she is one of a litany of people that we have had on Creekside with Don and Jan. You want to go through that list real quick, just in case?
Well, and this speaks to the fact that bringing the libertarian message and those people active in the party to our Creekside with Don and Jan studio and our listeners, we've had Lex Green, and feel free to jump in on any of these folks because you know
somebody out.
And we've had Lex Green, who is the state chair. You've worked closely with Lex.
Very closely with Lex.
And speaking of this, we keep jumping around here. You just won at this convention the Activist Award.
I won Activist of the Year. It was humbling. I had to go hide. I was really overwhelmed. It was just so wonderful to get that recognition and to know that my hard work is appreciated.
Right.
It meant a lot.
Right.
So,
and you get so close with those people that you work like that with. So.
Yeah.
And then another guest we had, Julie Fox. She was the former Libertarian candidate for Illinois Comptroller, but Julie was convention chair this year.
She was convention chair this year.
And she's done everything under the sun. If it was to do in the Libertarian Party of Illinois, she has done it. Kent McMillan, former candidate for U.S. Senate.
I worked on his campaign.
Yes. And you know, Kent was
And you wonder why you got Activist of the Year.
I do some things sometimes. Kent actually won an award also. He won the Libertarian Leadership Award.
Good. Yeah. Good.
That's cool.
Sharon Hansen has been a guest on our podcast, and she was a former candidate for U.S. Senate before Kent was. Claire Ball, a former, and I guess she's recently announced,
hasn't
she?
She's running again, mm-hmm. Which is... Claire's amazing. She's mm-hmm. wonderful. She also won the Chair's Award, which she definitely deserved.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's nice to get, like you said, to see those people actually thanked and appreciated. Yeah. It is neat.
And I worked on her campaign as well.
Mm-hmm. Once again, wonder why you got the award.
Crystal Jerzynski has been a guest on our podcast and has also written for the magazine. She's now chapter development director of the party.
I'm going to be working with her a little bit to help with that.
And she's just done again. She's another one of those people that you can count on, Crystal, to do whatever is needed to
be done. I definitely see Crystal as a role model. She's mm-hmm. done so much, and she's thorough.
She is.
She's just amazing mm-hmm. to me, so I'm hoping to glean and learn as I kind of work with her a little bit.
She gets the Activist of the Decade Award.
I think so.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, definitely. We had Scott Schluter on, who was a former congressional candidate and current director of the political division at the party, and you were his campaign manager.
I was his campaign manager.
Wonder why you got that Activist of the Year Award. I can't figure that out yet.
We don't have to keep bringing it up.
We've had Aaron Wright on, who was active in the Metro East chapter, and he recently won...
He won the Local Activist Award.
Oh, did he? Cool.
Yes. Aaron live-streamed the presidential debate at the last convention. Mm-hmm. It was so professionally done. It was something that our party could be so proud of. Mm-hmm. And he continues to put out these awesome videos with our statewide candidates, with local issues. And I think he's just such a great asset to have. So I'm really glad we have him.
And then I have Collinsville Area Recreation District Board. Yes.
He is our real life Ron Swanson. I'm so proud of Aaron that he did that. It's so exciting. And Collinsville is lucky to have him on there because Collinsville likes to spend money. And Aaron's going to be the hawk that watches.
That's cool.
The thorn in the side.
Yeah, they spend money like drunken sailors.
Yeah.
We've also had Jess Adam on the podcast numerous times, and he was our former Bond County Chapter Chair and current Greenville City Councilman. And then we had my brother, Jeff Jones, and he was the former chair of the Ocala Valley Libertarian Chapter that since became the Bond County Libertarian Chapter. And I'm going to credit Jeff with me being a libertarian. He convinced me that I already was that, and for years kept saying, you already are a libertarian. I don't know what you're waiting for, Jan. And finally, one day, the light bulb went off, and he said it only took him 10 years. So
now I know who to blame.
Or give credit to. And then something else, too, and our listeners that are know of the people who have written for our publication, Val Vetter and Deb Aaron wrote for us with Piney Woods Ranch.
Right.
And from time to time, they will, you know, let our readers know what they're up to. They've also been on the podcast, like we said. Val and Deb were very active in the Libertarian Party of Illinois. Val was state chair, and Deb was the former treasurer of the Libertarian Party of Illinois. So it's neat to follow their lives as they've moved away from Illinois, but what they're doing in Texas, and they've, of course, taken their viewpoints and political activism with them down there. And then we even had Christine Smith, who was the former, she was a candidate seeking the nomination of the Libertarian Party for the presidential nominee. She's been our guest. And Mark Rutherford, who was the former vice chair of the National Libertarian Party. I believe that was his title. But Mark has been active in Indiana politics for ages and ages in that party,
too. I met
too.
Mark last year. He actually came to our convention.
Yes, yeah.
So nice guy.
He is a nice guy. So anyway, those are some of the people we've had. So we keep trying to bring their message to our listeners and readers, because as activists, they bring that enthusiasm and information,
right,
and political options to our folks that are tuned in. So we've talked about this. We want to go back now. The party is encouraging volunteers. And if you want to mention a little bit about what they're needing, that would be great.
So one thing we really need, and as ballot access director, I would be eternally grateful for, is that we need a fundraising director and a fundraising deputy director. Currently, right now, we don't have a fundraising department, and we need one. Yeah, and I say as ballot access director because until we become established, getting our candidates on the ballot is time-consuming and very, very expensive.
It certainly is.
So that's a big one. We are also looking for a website director in our IT department, a campaign director in the political division, and also a public policy director. The communications division is still looking for a deputy. And then our membership director right now, Karen Green, is doing it.
Does the deputy carry a gun?
I wish. I'd fight for that position if I got one. And a badge. I'd be all about that.
Yeah. A little star.
Anyways, Dennis Spears, who recently passed away following the convention, I worked closely with him. Well, he did a lot to help me during the ballot access drive last cycle. And I'd called him to see if he wanted to do membership. And I think he was really, really excited about doing it. And unfortunately, he and his wife both passed away right after the convention. So we are looking to fill those shoes.
It was a tragic accident, wasn't it?
They were on their motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if folks want to learn more about the party, state party, how do they contact the party itself?
I would suggest they go on to our website, which is www.lpillinois.org. There's all sorts of great things on there. You can sign up to become a state party member by taking the NAP pledge, which we mentioned. It's free. All you have to do is say that you won't initiate force or fraud to attain political or social goals. You can also sign up for volunteer opportunities. Tell us what your skills are, what you like to do, what you want to do, and someone from Field Ops will get in touch with you and find you a home. And if you're interested in any of the positions that I listed off, be sure to let them know so that we can get you rolling as soon as possible.
Now, you'd said how the chapters had grown. Do you have a list of counties right off the bat, or would that be something people would be better off to just go to the website and find their county?
You can go to the website and find your county. We do not have a chapter in every county, but it is definitely a goal, because as we become established, instead of having, for example, Metro East Libertarians is three different counties, but when we become established, we'll have to have a Madison County Central Committee, a St. Clair County Central Committee. So we want to have a chapter in every county and enough people at least to make an executive board. So chair, vice chair, secretary, and treasurer, and an SOC rep. We're looking for that. So if you are brave and wonderful and want me to hug you, you could start your own chapter. And the lovely Crystal Trzynski could help you do that as chapter development. So we're here to help. The state party is here to help. And I think that not everyone, even active members, realize all the resources that we have. All you have to do is send an email or give us a quick phone call, and we'll help you with whatever you need.
Well, and we have our Bond County chapter established here. We used to be Bond Fayette, and this kind of goes to your point that eventually every county will need their own representation. Mm-hmm. We decided since we were more of the members were from Bond County, we were going to focus on that. So Don is now the chair of the Bond County Libertarians. We meet the third Thursday of every month, and we meet at Terramata Botanicals, Massage and Botanicals, and Roxanne, who is the owner of that business, opens up her home to allow us to do that. So you can find us that way, anyone listening that's right here in Greenville or Bond County, and we can always use more members like all chapters can. That's another thing that's exciting. You were saying the party has so many young people involved, too, and has retained its long-time membership.
Yes.
So it's really nice to see that blend of the older guard, so to speak, that stayed on,
right,
and then the younger that's coming on board.
And my friend Ian Peake, who won the Young Activist Award, he's my age. I'm 29, and I'll admit it.
29 and holding, huh?
Yeah, I don't know about 30 yet. He won the Young Activist Award. He is the College Outreach Director with Field Ops. So even though in the Libertarian Party, we're all cool to hang out, you know, it's not like the young people don't want to hang out with those weird, old, awful people. We're not
those old
separated.
People are just cool.
They're cool.
They are.
We are cool. We're old people. We're cool.
He's reaching out to colleges to form some college groups and do some tabling and kind of get the word out to the young people that we're here. We don't want to take your money or tell you how to live your life, and we're a really good option for that generation, I think. So.
Oh, I think it's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
I know we've kind of gone all over the map here, so let's bring back the conversation to several of the things that you really wanted to touch base on, and if you want to take us away on that, that'd be cool.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about the convention because it was such a fun time. I rolled into Chicago, and I got roped into decorating Bitcoin cookies. yeah, one of our members in the DuPage chapter is a chef, and so they thought it would be fun to raise money for the state party by putting on a bake sale, which went over really well. They had Rice Krispie treats that were in the shape of porcupines and the Liberty Bell. There were the Bitcoin cookies. I'm trying to think. There were some really awesome things in the bake sale. And then next to the bake sale, I got to Friday night, I ran the Outright booth. So I had fun doing that, selling Gadsden flags for $30 and peddling the world's gayest political quiz. So I had a lot of fun doing that. We had fabulous entertainment. Two different musicians came, and I'm awful. I don't have that written down, but they were wonderful. Everyone had a really good time. We had 50 people come to the mixer on Friday night. And then, like you said, Saturday, the banquet was overflowing. But before that, early in the day, was me frantically running from volunteer to volunteer, getting ready for the business meeting because I had to present the bylaws. And that lasted 2.5 hours. Everyone was really wonderful. No one threw anything at me. Thank you again for not throwing anything. We got the new bylaws passed.
And that's no small task.
No.
I mean, anyone that has worked in any kind of committee work or organizational work, they know that bylaws have to say what they mean and mean what they say. And with the changes coming up in the party, you wanted to make sure the party was headed in the right direction.
We had one entire amendment added in. We had one extra two pulled out from something. The word two, T-O, was pulled out. It was superfluous.
It happens. It happens every convention.
I mean, we want to make sure it's perfect. And to me, like, it went through the bylaws committee. I believe there were 6 people on the committee, and then I feel like I was a people mover. But so I really wanted to just put it on the floor in front of the body and have everyone just pick through it, because at the end of the day, there are bylaws. They're not mine. They're not the committee's. They belong to the whole party. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure that they were perfect for what the party wanted. So thank you to everyone who came to that meeting and sat through it. It was tedious and boring and awful, and everyone's input was important. So we got that done. The manual, which the manual was my baby. I put a lot of time into it. I don't know if anyone's looked at it. It has a lot of good information. I think if you want to know about more about how the Libertarian Party of Illinois functions, how it can be used as a vehicle, who to go to for help, how to get things done, you should read that manual.
Is that manual available on the website for people to see?
It was available on the website. I need to find out now where it is.
Mm-hmm, since it's been changed and updated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's something I can let you know. Your readers could probably go to your Facebook page in the future to find that out.
Mm-hmm.
After all of the hoopla, then there's all the kinks to work out, and everyone's and exhausted. And mm-hmm. Yeah, so
that's kind of how we are after we did our home show. Then the next day or two, you try to even just, you know, gather your thoughts, and then all the, you know, tearing down, and then the going ahead and putting stuff up on the website and Facebook page, and there's people asking you questions.
Right.
Well, this is more detailed with yours because yours affects the long term.
The long term, yeah. So then the other things I wanted to touch on really quick were Libertarian Jeopardy, which is always a hit. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. Everyone enjoyed it, and just if you haven't been to a convention, come for Libertarian Jeopardy, and you will watch people be humiliated and victorious. And then the convention program, Jenny Floyd and Brian Lambrecht put a lot of work into it, and it was a 12-page beauty. It had articles. I wrote an article. Janae Weiss, who won the Outstanding Service Award, she took over our helping with the Facebook page, and it's just took off. It's grown leaps and bounds. She's done such a wonderful job. So she wrote an article in there. There were ads. There was program information. It was just, that's something I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, in years to come as a tradition, mm-hmm. I'm hoping. I know it was a lot of work, but I think that it was definitely important. So
very cool.
Yeah.
And you can also, folks, can find you on Facebook as well, the Libertarian Party of Illinois, when you mention the Facebook page.
Yes, please find us on mm-hmm. Facebook and follow us mm-hmm. for photos, funny memes, information, party events, chapter meetings and events. It's all on there.
Mm-hmm.
So go on there and vent if you want. Libertarians like to do that, I guess, too.
We've been known to vent. Anything else before we go?
I think that's everything. Just there's a lot happening. Come be part of it. Our time is now. That was the theme of the convention.
Well, and one thing, too, I wanted to ask you personally, if you would stay on with us for a 15-minute interview afterwards, we have what we call a members-only website that allows people who purchase the $2.99 membership a month to come on and hear an extended version of some of our podcasts or different guests that we have. So if you're interested in hearing more about Chris, because I want you to fill us in about your girls and things like that, too, we want to talk about that so you can find out information about the members only website on our actual Owl Creek Gazette website at owlcreekgazette.com.
Absolutely.
So thanks for joining us on this portion, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to Creekside with Don and Jan, the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette. And we're brought to you by KNR Wireless. Look them up, knrwireless.com.